Leslie FM. Oh yeah, Leslie FM.
Oh yes, my friend, I'm here today to talk about Leslie FM, a podcast hosted by Johnny Mac, Mr. Jezalinko, and Dr. Adrian Warman. How cool is that? And if you wonder what the topics be, they talk to world experts and gurus about new technologies. Yes, it's so exciting. Oh yeah, you know it's so enticing. The expert words hold so much weight, they can only be transported by cargo freight. Leslie FM.
Started early. We've got in the room a number of legends from DevOps.
DevOps.
So what are we talking about today then?
Guess what? Oh. It's going to be DevOps today. But before we plow in, should we all say who we are, introduce ourselves.
Hello, I'm Jez Kelway.
Hi, I'm Adrian Warman.
I'm John McNamara.
I'm Steve Paul.
And I'm Alan Oglethorpe.
Formerly known as Alan Ballesteros,
thank you.
I believe.
I thought you'd mention that.
Got it in early, Al.
Well done. Okay, guys, so we mentioned DevOps, but what do you actually do? What do you do in your office? Tell us.
What do we do in our office? Well, apart from playing golf, no. So, Ad and I work for an organisation in Hursley that's job is to help transition IBM to using DevOps technologies. And also going out and helping our customers make those same sort of transitions.
Sweet.
Cool. So maybe you could describe what your concept of DevOps is.
Okay. So lots of people think of DevOps as technologies. And I think the first takeaway is to look at DevOps and go, it's not a technology. So how many people remember an old thing called waterfall?
Oh, you take me back then.
So waterfall was this situation where you had all your teams and you kept them all completely separate. And the downside for us was that meant we never delivered anything and it was always wrong and it was horrible. And so we brought in Agile. Everyone remembers Agile. And Agile was about getting your teams to work together and doing things in parallel and getting your customers involved in the beginning. And that was all great, wonderful. And recently, it became, for other reasons, important that we looked at closing the next part of the pipeline,
right,
which is the operations side. So DevOps is like Agile for operations. So DevOps is about how do we get our customers and our ops teams engaged in the process of producing software right from the beginning.
And to what extent is it theory? To what extent is it practice? How do you merge and balance the two?
Well, it's worth pointing out there are two different cultures here. DevOps is a combination of two words, development and operations. The idea is that development like to do new things and change things and create new stuff. Operations want to keep things stable and like, oh, that's new stuff, but we want to keep what we got stable and make it, you know, robust and reliable. And those two worlds are difficult to come together. And the idea behind DevOps is to try to bring those two worlds together with some technology to enable that as well, but it's a different way of thinking than development do their stuff and then ship it over the wall to some guy in operations to actually roll it out.
Yeah, and everybody's seen the pictures of the development team saying things to the ops team like, why are you so slow and why do you, you know, take so long? And then the ops team saying things like, why do you deliver bleep, bleep, bleep quality software? And that is a problem. So there are lots of good technologies around, but it is a cultural problem more than anything. But it was exactly the same sorts of cultural problems we went through when we were going into Agile. A lot of it is about communicating with each other and getting to understand each other's problems.
Yeah, I think, and I'm subscribed to the Agile principles, right? Because I've seen the successes and the failing fast aspects that actually help you to win quicker, right? So it does seem like a natural evolution or the next step. Do you think this is this seems relative to cloud? But I have a bit of an understanding of where we go. Perhaps we could talk a bit more about common applications of DevOps and what you know, what actual steps are being taken in it pragmatically.
Okay.
Can I add a rider into that? If you were to go into a particular team or department or whatever, what would be the things that you'd be looking at that would be clues to say, yes, this is a DevOps culture?
Okay, that's a hard one.
That's many loaded questions as well, isn't it?
Well done, Adrian. That'll teach you.
So I go out and talk about this stuff, and when we look at where are you in the adoption curve of DevOps, are you ready to go? And the very first thing we say is, do you know what Agile is? And if you don't know what Agile is, then go away and do that first, because that's the difficult bit. The difficult part is trying to assess any team about whether they're willing to do this. And what we've seen is it's probably coming down more from the business side. So if you look at... So DevOps is a movement. It's a great thing to do. We can all benefit, see what the benefits were to do. Agile was good. Let's do it somewhere else. But if you look at it, it's like, why are we talking about this right now? Why are we sitting around this microphone talking about DevOps? And the main thing is, it's not just DevOps, it's the technologies that go with it. It's the cloud technologies that are changing the game. So we have, as an industry, we've been telling businesses that if only they were to adopt virtualization technologies and similar things, they'd get things done quicker, they'd get stuff out to the business, out to their customers. And now they're coming back and saying, we believe you, make it happen. And so what you're seeing is, businesses are going, we really want to do this, make it happen. And so if you're saying, is the organization ready? Most organizations aren't ready, because most organizations have a big split between development and ops, and it's just intrinsic. So I was talking to a large customer a few weeks ago, and they were saying that they had Agile sorted out and they could produce software within 3 weeks. They could do something good within 3 weeks. It was taking them, let's say, many months to get that into production, because the operations team had a whole set of things that they wanted to have happen first. So we were working with them about, how do you think about changing the way that you behave? And the best advice we can give is, you go and find a few ops guys and you talk to them, you see who's amenable, and you pull them in. But it's like all culture changes. So I think the simple answer is, we've never come up with an assessment that says you can say that this group is ready, but if the development teams don't know Agile, then walk away.
So why is DevOps so important?
So from our point of view, again, it's connected to the technologies. So let's look at it from let me give you the anecdote that I've heard, and I've heard similar things. So here's the anecdote. So there's a fashion house. There's a fashion sales. They sell great things, clothes, handbags, whatever. There are these guys who are noticing that if they see their goods turning up on TV or YouTube or whatever, they're going, if I can get my similar goods on the front of my web page within an hour, mm-hmm. I make money.
Okay.
That's the drive. They're going, I need to be able to change my software. So this isn't, I've got my software set up, I'm going to just put a picture on the front page. It's more than that. They're talking about being able to theme it and change it, and you know, build an experience around that handbag or that.
So really, quick content changes.
Yeah,
right.
And so they're going, we only have a very short window to get this done.
Mm.
And most of these guys, even the ones who are really gung ho about this, say 3 weeks. You know, they get the 1 hour occasionally with heroic efforts. But they're going, we see the value, if we can get this, we can make this happen. Can we get our software out quicker? The quicker we get it out, the more money we make.
So this is fascinating. So we work in Hursley, which is lovely, but this strikes me as a little bit larger than IBM specifically, right? So is this kind of an industry-wide adoption? And if so, and that's probably a rhetorical question, but if so, you know, how far down the line are we, or how far down the line is the industry in making these changes?
Yeah. So it is definitely industry-wide. I mean, it's being driven by everybody. You can find any company in any position who is talking to somebody about getting their API made external, available.
Right.
So the cloud side of this, I've got my APIs that I want you to use. How quickly can I get my API? So this is the software as a service type environment, where the quicker I can get my API made available for somebody else to consume, the better. And that's what's driving it. So it's not DevOps for its own sake, it's DevOps for this really specific reason, which is enabling our businesses to be able to make more money, be more flexible, be more agile.
Enable our customers to do the same.
Yeah.
So exposing parts or aspects of their portfolio or products via APIs. So you would, I can see where a continuous delivery model might be needed there.
Exactly, right? And that's where that connects, because how quickly can you get your software through? So maybe you're not ready to get to, you don't need to deliver it an hour, but if you look at many products, you know, we could point at some favourite IBM products and saying, you know, it takes years to get a release out. And we're moving, part of Alan and I's job is to change the services that we offer our product teams so that they can do things faster.
Which is different from, if you think about when we talked about Agile, it was about deliver your next version or your next alpha, your next beta within weeks or days. It's different. It's not about delivering your product quicker. It's delivering some capability at a more granular level regularly, rather than turn your 1 year cycle into a 3 month cycle.
Yes. Yeah. So the connection back to DevOps is, we could let the development teams go away and do all this, which would be great, but they don't know all the things that the ops teams know. So security, compliance, resilience, like, you know, the right sort of diagnostics, things like that. Failover, high availability, fantastic things that the ops teams provide. But if you're asking the development teams to bake those in, they need the information, they need to get the experience. And that's why DevOps is important, because it's sharing that knowledge. Right? So that's why these things are all intertwined.
So you mentioned cloud. What impact has cloud had on DevOps?
Apart from all the things I've just said?
Apart from all the things,
yeah. Okay, so a couple of things that we're beginning to see is it's going to drive standardization.
Okay.
So when you're trying to deploy things, you need to have deployment technologies. If you're doing it fast, then it has to be automated.
Right.
Automation means those lovely handcrafted systems that you put together, you can't afford to run anymore. You have to be able to call things off quickly, because you've got to be able to keep them compliant and secure. So we're seeing a drive towards standardization, and a new term, though it's been around for a bit, which is called immutable infrastructure.
Go on.
Okay.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So this is all connected together. So how does a DevOps guy, an operations guy, he'd like to give the development team something that he would like them to use in production. Right. So the best idea is the development teams use things that are going to go in production. But the dev teams tend to not have the same capacity and things. So we're moving towards making that easier. What the ops teams want to do is give the dev teams an image of their environment that they can't change.
Right.
So if I can give you something that you can stand up, that I know you can't change, it's immutable, you can prove everything works, and then when you give me your stuff, we're all happy. It all works.
Yeah, I like that.
Right. And so you'll see another terms like Docker is one of the favourite technologies for this. But immutable infrastructure means that we can all trust that we're working in the same.
It's a foundation statement, right? Because if you're, we mentioned, you know, multiple portfolios of different companies, different products, different APIs, you have to start with a solid foundation, right? And is that, have I understood that correctly?
Exactly. And so immutable infrastructure, let's say we use Docker as an example, where you can go download from the internet a pre-configured, let's say I want a Jenkins server, I can go get an image, a Linux image, that I can pull down and start running within moments, and it's already pre-configured, I use it, and when I finished I turn it off. So in some ways the unit of deployment is moving away from being your traditional application to being a system image, and that's changing things as well.
So immutable infrastructure is to systems, if you like, what a template is to a document. It's a known starting point that everybody can agree on.
Well, it's more than that, because you can build on it, but you can't really change it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does that relate to this other phrase, infrastructure as code?
All related. So infrastructure as code is the realisation that if you want to be able to create systems very quickly, then you don't want to have human beings involved. So you want to have all the technologies all of the processes of creating an image to be written in code. So you hear about technologies that do that. They configure machines for you. And so if the thing that you use to drive the configuration is a script or something more sophisticated, that's your infrastructure written in code.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where it really comes from.
And at a certain point, once I'm happy that my code is the infrastructure I want, I could then lock it down and say this is now immutable, passing it out.
So you can create, you can lock those scripts away in a source management system, and you can create images off that, and you can share those images on repositories for other people to use. And it's really fantastic what you can do with this, and it's changing the way that we think about how you construct applications, because they're moving away from being made of one big monolithic piece to being these system images, because system images like this, which you can stand up very quickly, provide you with the high availability, the scalability, reliability, all those sorts of things come from that. And so you're seeing people producing, so the applications that people were producing will move away from being it's a jar file or a web file to being it's an image of a system that you can fire up.
With some configuration too, because we've been in provisioning for years. The ability to provision a system has been around for 5, 6, 7 years or more.
Yeah.
But now we're able to do that and also customise and configure that image.
Yeah.
Look at the other impact of cloud. Has it brought any challenges for DevOps?
Has it brought challenges? Where do you want to start?
Alan.
This is where it goes, no. So everything's great.
Part of my role is managing a team that look after library systems, and we have particularly some legacy library systems we'd like to get rid of, and some new ones emerging, or even not even emerging, they've emerged for years, things like Git, and for my team that's a challenge, and it's new technology for us, because we're also managing legacy systems too.
Yeah, there is a pain for everybody. A lot of the challenge for us in this transition is getting people used to the level of change.
Yeah.
One of the things I talk about this as being a developer renaissance, and people go, "What's renaissance?" Well, we won't go into that.
But Leonardo da Ogilvy.
Yeah.
But hotel.
The reason I say this, and it is a challenge. We have developers who find this difficult. The industry is very good at hiring developers with a particular skill. You're a Java programmer. You're a JavaScript programmer.
Yeah.
When you start looking at what we're talking about, the DevOps spaces, you need programmers who, they can write Java programs, but they know how to do scripting. So they need to be thinking wider and broader and adopting new technologies. And that's a challenge for many people. And it's also the same on the ops side. So one of the challenges that you hear the ops team have to face is many of them have to learn to write programs. So they may be good at writing scripts, but they need to move further, understand how applications are created and what's important for that. And that's a challenge for them. And so we are always seeing that piece. We're seeing that within our own teams, not only within the organisation that Alan and I work for, but within the product teams as well.
Mm.
Everybody's getting over this shock.
Yeah.
But I would say, and I keep saying this to people, it's a great opportunity for us. You can become a software engineer or a developer in a wider space than you have before.
A Swiss Army knife developer.
Mm.
Multiple skill sets.
Yes, I'm sure there's a better analogy, but I'll go with that.
What? That's awesome.
How dare you say
that? Well, I'm glad we're near the end. That's the turn you're going to take.
So, how do you get involved in this wonderful world of DevOps?
You start.
Ah, oh, that's a great answer.
Yes. Here we go.
So, what do you do? The best thing. So, I would say, a caveat for that, the industry is changing very fast. There's lots of technologies. Lots and lots of technologies in this space. Everybody's got an idea of what to do. There is an example. We always say, go pick one, go play. Whether you go for Docker, you go for Puppet, you go for Salt, there's all sorts of technologies. Go play with those. Go think about infrastructure as code. Go play with Docker, because you'll get to see what the ideas are, even if the technology you've picked doesn't do the distance.
Right.
So again, do that. And start looking around at where the deployment is going. So we didn't really touch about this, but we've talked about infrastructure as a service, software as a service. There's things like platform as a service, which is the PaaS side. Lots of developers can get involved in that and get to see firsthand what it really takes to run an application, because they'll get exposed to that, because it's really easy to do. So I would say go off and play. And don't be afraid to go try new things.
Mm.
Fantastic.
Cool, yeah.
Well, any questions? In that case,
so
So
are there any other technologies that we should be playing with, perhaps?
In the DevOps space?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we could, we can't end this without talking about things like Bluemix. That would be a really good thing.
Yes.
Or, So Bluemix is IBM's PaaS, Platform as a Service, is based on Cloud Foundry. And I'm one of those people that I will tell you whether I like IBM software or not, and I will tell you what I do and like, do and do not like. I think Bluemix is one of the best pieces of technology I've played with in a long time.
High praise indeed.
Yeah, and I've played with a lot of the PaaS services, and I think Bluemix is equally as good as the others. I think it's incredibly user-friendly, and it's one of those things, it's just go play with it, because it's so ridiculously easy. And it doesn't, you don't have to be a Java programmer, you can be a programmer in anything. We recently ran a hack day, and I had somebody turn up who was a Python programmer, and I went, yeah, we can do that for you. You pick your programming language. If it runs on Linux Intel, it'll run on Bluemix. And people don't see it that way. They think it's these PaaSes are some product, but actually they are great technologies for you to get involved in.
But for me, it's the wide variety of services available through Bluemix. Yeah. You can get all kind of objects together, yeah, interesting services that third parties have provided.
Yeah, we did again at the Hack Day. We used the Watson APIs to try and build a Borat tourist advisor tool, which didn't quite work as well as we expected. But
on
we had
on
great
multiple
fun
levels,
yes, but we had fun trying to build it. But we used Node-RED, we did some JavaScript, we used Twitter connections. It was just a joy, and the Watson API is to do some language translation and some advice.
Nice.
Yes.
It does seem very much as if the sort of world that you're describing that we're moving into is, we're moving away from the traditional vision of some poor software engineer sitting hunched over a laptop late into the night, and into a brave new world where people are assembling components and blocks and putting them together while they're having a cup of coffee.
I agree. I think it's exactly where it is. The next Instagram is going to come out of these guys who are using PaaSes to build their solutions, because they pay for what they use, and as it scales, they pay more. Most of these guys, most of us like us, we provide a free tier, and it's about wiring stuff together to provide a solution, and I think that's exactly where we're going.
Cool.
Awesome. Gentlemen, thank you so
thank you
very
much
for coming over. It's been an absolute
really
joy.
Good to talk to you. And I can confirm from experience that Steve definitely does point out when he doesn't like a piece of software. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you. Cheers.
Welcome.
Johnny Mac, Mr. Jezalenko, and Dr. Adrian Warman, best writing technology, like a colossus, it's Hursley FM.